Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
Parliament returned from a short adjournment to start another week dominated by the government's response to the Christchurch earthquake. First up at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, the Minister of Civil Defence, John Carter, informed the House that the government would be extending the state of national emergency declared the day after the earthquake struck on February the 22nd.
The extensions are necessary to enable the National Controller to continue exercising its powers and functions under the Civil Defence Emergency Management Act.
For the second time, Mr Carter's ministerial statement drew comment from Labor's Charles Chauvel.
I do register my disappointment that the Minister hasn't addressed the point of whether or not a national state of emergency remains necessary in the circumstances.
Charles Chauvel's disappointment was echoed by the Greens' Keith Block, although their concerns were addressed the next day when the acting leader of the House, Simon Power, confirmed the extension of the national state of emergency for a seventh time.
In Christchurch, I'm advised there's strong support for the state of emergency to be national rather than local or regional at this time. This provides the National Controller with powers to access resources from around New Zealand, but only for the purpose of responding to the earthquake in Christchurch City.
Thank you, Mr. Power, for that explanation. Charles Chauvel noted that it was the first time that the reasons for the state of emergency being a national one had been addressed in a ministerial statement.
For that, I do acknowledge the fact that the Minister has considered the matter and communicated his thoughts to the House, or at least the thoughts of the Minister of Civil Defence. The issues that he's raised as to the appropriateness of a national versus a regional emergency will be considered by the opposition and a response will be forthcoming in due course.
Next day, it was the Finance Minister's turn to make a ministerial statement, informing the House of the reasons for the government's decision to help AMI Insurance meet claims from the Christchurch quake with a support package worth $500 million.
AMI's situation is unique. And while the government entered, this arrangement reluctantly. AMI was the leading insurer in a region subject to two earthquakes in short succession. Christchurch is an area where AMI has a particular concentration of policy holders, and moreover, being owned by its policy holders, it had little ability to raise new capital quickly.
Although Mr. English received reluctant support from around the chamber, he got an I told you so from one of his predecessors as Finance Minister.
The Honourable Sir Roger Douglas.
Now Finance Spokesman for the ACT Party.
Speaker, I have been warning the government of this moment for the last 2 years.
Roger Douglas said bailouts and talk of bailouts was a recipe for disaster.
The government must send out an unequivocal warning to all New Zealanders that the government cannot afford, nor will it entertain any further bailout.
The need for more bailouts will hopefully be minimised by six bills led by one setting up a new regulator called the Financial Markets Authority, passed on Thursday with the blessing of Simon Power, who holds both the Justice and Commerce portfolios.
Mr. Speaker, a major focus of this government has been to ensure we are putting in place a regulatory framework that will give investors confidence in our markets. And these bills represent significant achievements in that regard. Mr. Speaker, I'm very proud to commend these bills to the House.
The six bills were passed with support from all parties, although the unanimity that usually accompanies the triennial appointment of the three members of the Abortion Supervisory Committee was abandoned on Thursday when Māori Party co-leader Tariana Turia made a last-minute bid to install an off-course substitute.
I move that the motion be amended by omitting the words Reverend Patricia and Alan of Christchurch and substituting the words of Dr. Ate Moala of Wellington.
Tariana Turia's amendment came as a surprise to other parties, drawing comment from Labor's Chief Whip, Rick Barker.
This has come at a very, very late stage, so late in fact that the amendment hadn't been signed and on the table when the member had finished speaking.
And Mr. Barker's caucus colleague, Charles Chauvel, confirmed that Tariana Turia had not consulted Labor.
And I would be surprised if members on this side of the House were to support any such late nomination in the absence of such consultation.
Nevertheless, Tariana Turia's nominee attracted support from 41 MPs, filing in and out of the lobbies to be counted individually in a conscience vote, only to be defeated by 70 going through the nose lobby, and there was one abstention. Finally, Simon Power, back again as acting leader of the House, promising more of the same next week.
Mr. Speaker, when the House resumes on Tuesday, 12 April, the government intends to introduce and make progress on legislation to respond to the Canterbury earthquake.
So, no confirmation that next Wednesday will be a Members' Day as scheduled, continuing the uncertainty over whether the ACT Party's bill, aiming to abolish compulsory membership of student unions, will ever be freed from the grip of the opposition filibuster and emerge from its committee stage. Meanwhile, ACT's Deputy Leader John Boscawen used question time on Wednesday to score points against National and the leader of the four Maori MPs who also support the government on confidence votes along with ACT.
A supplementary to the Minister of Finance, how can it be appropriate for Cabinet to vote funding for a plastic waka to the largest hapū in the electorate of the Minister of Maori Affairs at a time when polling shows he is in danger of losing his seat to Labour, when an election is imminent, and without even putting the project out to tender?
Finance Minister Bill Inglis said the construction of the pavilion would go to tender and had a question of his own.
Why did the Labour government spend $33 million on the, what do you call it, the America's Cup yacht, which apparently is going to show up here sometime?
But within hours, the Finance Minister was back in the chamber.
Mr Speaker, I wish to correct an answer I gave to supplementary question from Honourable Shane Jones, question 5 in the House today. When asked why the waka-shaped pavilion had not been tendered out for contract, I responded that it had. However, I've subsequently received information that the responsibility for contracting a company for the construction of the pavilion had been transferred to Ngāti Whātua, who exercised their own discretion in procuring a suitably qualified and experienced company to construct the pavilion. The reason for transferring the responsibility to Ngāti Whātua was because of timelines and budgetary constraints. As a further control, the government, through TPK, has engaged Becker, an independent construction company, to provide separate advice and quality assurance on the project through regular reports to the Minister. So, Mr Speaker, the answer I gave that the construction of the pavilion had been tendered out for contract was not correct.
Bill Inglis also faced a question from Labor's Shane Jones.
Why does the Minister think this $2 million Tupperware gift, or in this case Tupperwaka gift, is actually going to improve the daily lives of the members of the Ngāti Whātua iwi?
The Honourable Bill Inglis.
Well, Mr Speaker, the Ngāti Whātua iwi seem to believe it will improve the daily lives of their members.
The Finance Minister's answer failed to satisfy Mr Jones.
Point of order, the Honourable Shane Jones.
Sir, is there any dim prospect that we can get a proper answer, given
order,
that most of the
order,
information
order,
given
order
to us comes from Ngāti Whātua?
Shutting down Mr Jones's microphone, the Speaker called on him to apologise for abusing the point of order procedure.
Because I was on my feet and he just carried on regardless, and we made it very clear to members that when I'm on my feet, they are to stop. So I asked the member to apologise to the House for that. The Honourable Shane Jones.
Sir, apologise for speaking while you're on my feet.
And Shane Jones was also at the centre of more hilarity when his interjection on National's Tohinere elicited this response.
How is Linda Lovelace these
days? Order. Order.
That had the Speaker in stitches.
The House had better come to order, please.
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Tohinere.
My question is...
While Mr. Henry showed his age with his interjection about a porn star from the 1970s, his question about progress on the Victoria Park Tunnel allowed Transport Minister Stephen Joyce to display his knowledge of where to buy exotic underwear and sex toys.
I visited the Victoria Park construction site this morning and am pleased to report to the House that Aucklanders will begin benefiting from the Victoria.
Also this week, the winner of the Botany by-election, Jamie Lee Ross, National's newest MP, delivered his maiden statement, and Ross Robertson returned to the position of Assistant Speaker, replacing Rick Barker, who took over from Darren Hughes as Chief Whip of the Labour Party. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.